nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and good evening. Thank you so much for being part of Nationwide First Hour Discussion. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to live from Juba, and today our discussion is going to be focusing on the Ruang administrative area, looking at some of the development happening in Ruang and also some of the challenges and the way forward happening in Ruang administrative area. As you know, it borders the Sudan, and it is now 7 months since the President of the Republic, Salva Kiir Mayardit, appointed His Excellency Stefano Wiu Malek as the Chief Administrator of the Ruang Administrative Area on the 4th of April this year. How has the Chief Administrator been addressing the issue of cattle theft or cattle raiding between Ruang and the Unity State, as well as the effect of floods in that part of the country? So the Chief Administrator joins me right here in the studio to discuss some of the progress made in the last 7 months and how he is also addressing some of the challenges happening in the Ruang administrative area. Our lines will be open to you later on, where you can call on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. Do send us your question to our SMS number, 091-2177-141, and I now take the chance to welcome the Chief Administrator to our studio. Good evening, and thank you so much for honoring our invitation. I know you have a very busy schedule to come to speak to your people this evening.
Thank you, Sunday Martin, and thanks to Radio Miraya. I'm glad to be here this evening for this radio show. Thank you so much.
Okay, and like I said in my introduction, 7 months down the line, what can you tell our listeners this evening? What has happened so far during your tenure in the last 7 months as the Chief Administrator of Ruang Administrative Area?
Thank you, Sunny Martin, and this is a very good opportunity to be here this evening. And also your question on what is that has happened for the last 7 months since I came to the state or Ruang administrative area. And I think it will be on a range of issues, starting on issues of stability, moving to issues of basic social services delivery, development or infrastructure. And I think these are key areas that I need maybe to highlight, and also maybe looking at the whole strategic plan and moving forward.
Yes. Let's begin with security over the last 7 months.
Yes, I think for the last 7 months, there have been challenges. And as you said, you have referred to the issue of cattle raiding. And I think for many areas, and especially in areas of Upper Nile and other areas, the issue of cattle thefts is always one of the most challenging situation coming with related conflict and related violence and also related displacement. But for Ruang administrative area, generally speaking, in terms of security, the area has been stable. We have experienced some instability, except the cattle wrestling, but this has been managed with the help also with the organized forces and the counterpart, because we have been operating at a difficult corridor on where we have also, we call them criminal or armed youth from maybe Unity State, always maybe coming to raid cattle in Ruang administrative area. And with the counterpart on both sides and organized forces, we have always addressed this maximally and also maybe coordinating in terms of handling this situation. So there were three consecutive cattle raids, and when I arrived, and maybe the last two recently, making almost a total of five. But with the response from the security forces, And with the coordination with the counterpart from the other side, we have always managed to recover cattle and restore the calm in the area. So that has been always a perpetual thing, but it doesn't prevent most of the activities going on, because maybe in terms of agricultural production, maybe there are some areas that can be affected by that. But a maximum measure has always been put in place to make sure that at least activities go on, and this does not affect the general operation of the area in a way.
What is the level of the cooperation of your government and the government of United States in terms of curbing this insecurity? You said five cattle raiding have happened so far, and you have worked collectively with your counterpart in United States. But I want to know, what is the level of your cooperation in terms of security-wise sharing information? And are there some suspects who have been arrested in connection to this five cattle raiding that has happened over the last few months?
As you know, as what matters always is the level of coordination, the level of cooperation, as you said. Yes, with Governor Riebeam, we have always been collaborating and coordinating, and also provision of information in terms of criminals that are moving across this corridor. I think that's one of the major things. If one counterpart is able to inform you that this is what's happening on the other side, you will be able also to put measures in place. So I think the last arrest was in May, where maybe some few were rounded up. But it's not always that easy for these cattle raiders to be arrested in a way, because they always engage even with the forces, with the army. You know how
because
they
operate. Because
they're armed. So it's not an easy thing that way. But what we also blame on the other side is maybe cracking them down, because they come from those areas, they go back, and perhaps there are some who are known. So if there's a crackdown, they are arrested, and then I think that can also reduce. But I learned of one instance where some arrests were made, especially with the operation by Division 4 commander at that time.
Okay. And what is being done to address the root cause of this cattle raiding?
I think that has been the biggest question in South Sudan for so long.
Yeah.
And it goes back to what should be other alternative livelihoods that can also come in, or activities that can engage the youth so that they are disengaged from the cattle rustling. And if you look at the situation in Unity State, this is where you have flooding. Some of the livelihood activities are affected. So even the kind of cattle raid that is there is not like it used to be before, because it has increased. And it has also increased simply because it's not only the armed youth that are doing this, okay, there are also armed militias operating at the border that collude with this criminal youth and launch this cattle raid. So it is also taking shape, it's taking, how do you call it, a dimension that is not purely based on this, but a mixture of criminals and armed militias operating on this. So coming up with a solution that can address this, we have tried, people have tried peace conferences in South Sudan. Has it worked? It might have not worked. Perhaps what should be there is what do we do in terms of increasing activities around economic livelihood activities that is engaged, if they are doing businesses, if they have access maybe to market, if they have access to farming, perhaps that can also help. And also a mindset, bringing in kind of sensitization, so that they look, you can do business and you can buy cows. It's not necessarily doing raiding, cattle raiding all the time. Yeah.
Okay, and just looking at some of the achievement, I should ask you about what has, apart from what you said, there has been some relative stability in your area. What else has happened over the last 7 months, which you can talk about and say, yes, for sure, my administration have done 1, 2, 3, 4 in terms of health, infrastructure, and many others?
Thank you so much. You know, yes, there is what we might have achieved as a government single-handedly, but there is a lot that we have also done with our partners in terms of social and basic services delivery in rural and administrative area. Before I was relieved, we had a lot of engagement with the World Bank project. And this is the project that has now put a number of facilities in place. We have a primary school that has already been completed in Bal. We have a health facility in Bonki that is under construction and that is under ECPR2. We have a maternity ward added to Paring in hospital. That is additional wards that is already completed. We have Namlau Girls Primary School where we have additional two classrooms that has already been completed. We have also been engaging on areas where we can engage our women on women livelihood activities and empowerment activities. And with CARE and the World Bank, we have now put a women resource center where women will be receiving some skills in terms of tailoring, in terms of entrepreneurship skills. So these are some of the things that we have done. We are also fixing our road infrastructure with support from GPOC, where we are doing major road upgrade. And also as a government, we have also done almost 20 kilometers of road construction that is connecting Pamir and Alela Gate, and also opening a route from Jamjang to Gumriak. So that we have a road network providing accessibility to most of our areas. And that is what we were able to put together for this particular year, period.
Okay.
And more to be achieved as we move on.
Okay. What about how are you beefing up security with Sudan? Because I know Sudan has been having a lot of challenges of late for the last 1 or 2 years. We also know that you might be receiving some returnees to your area. How are you managing all these porous borders and also the returnees at the same time?
Yes, you know, Ruweng administrative area, yes, we border the Sudan and we have the vast border territory. It's stretching all the way from Abimnam all the way to Unkur. Mm-hmm. That is the longest border that you have. And with the crisis in the Sudan, we have seen the influx of the refugees. And you know, Ruweng administrative area, we are hosting over 138,000 refugees from the Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
And that are settled in these areas. So that gives us a position also to make sure that with the situation in Sudan, how do we control our borders? It's putting measures in border control, in monitoring movement, in receiving the returnees and receiving the refugees. Yes, with the returnees, it was during the crisis that when the conflict broke out, when we were receiving some of the recent returnees in that corridor. But when the war escalated in the Sudan, I think the route also shifted. You remember most of the people came through Rang.
Yeah.
And Ruweng administrative area at that time was the first to provide logistic and vehicle for evacuation of our refugees or returnees that came through Rang. And we also airlifted a number of them from here to Malakal, from Rang to Malakal, Malakal, Wau, Abimnam. Most of them were from Abimnam. And then there were 2 to 3 flights we organized to Ruweng administrative area. Yes, we couldn't get most of them out from Rang. There were few that remained. Recently, there were also initiatives from some of the communities that also put in some resources and are now also bringing some of their relatives or families that remain in Rang and they have arrived home. What is there is what can the government put in place now. And that's why you see we are trying to increase some of the health facilities. We are trying to increase some of the schools that can also accommodate some of our returnees that are coming.
Okay.
While working also with UNHCR and other partners on the other side of the refugees to provide more schools, regardless of the cutting of funding is another big challenge that we are facing. But in terms of border, yes, there are measures in place. There's control in place so that our border remains stable in that manner.
And is Ruweng currently affected by the floods?
Yes, few areas from the southern part are affected. And recently we had some areas from the east in the areas of Dir, Mankuo, affected where most of the farms were submerged underwater. But that water has subsided now. So the more threatening flooding is what is coming from Unity. But and that's what has affected some of the southern areas. If you come to areas like Manga, areas of Ya, part of La Lop, which is Meding, those are some of the areas where we have the flooding that has affected some of those locations.
Okay, and let's talk about agriculture in Ruweng administrative area, because this has been the priority of the government to ensure that people avoid dependence on handouts from humanitarian agencies. Like, how much has the people of Ruweng cultivated this year in terms of food production?
You know, when I came back the second time, when I came the first time, I was having the 7-point agenda.
7 points.
But when I came back the second time, I reduced them to 3-point agenda.
What are they?
We were focusing on health, education, and food security, food production. And our target as Ruweng administrative area, we are saying by the year 2027, we should be food self-sufficient. It is ambitious, but that is our...
Is it achievable?
It is doable and it is achievable. Now, when I came the first time, we procured 5 tractors. And to me, having 5 tractors deployed for production efficiently can produce abundant food for the people.
Are 5 tractors enough?
I feel. This year, we have been targeting to plow over 4,000 fadan.
4,000?
We have plowed in Agarak. We have done it in Agamdio. We were also trying to do it in Old Plat, but because of rains, that was affected a bit. So we expect, and with the rest of the farmers who are also doing farming, we have also small-scale farmers that are also doing agricultural production. So we organize these tractors in a way that we have registered and organized farmers under this. So we plow 1,000 fadan. You provide that to 100 farmers, giving at least 10 fadan per a farmer. So we feel if this yield this year is harvested, then we will see at least a gradual improvement in food production. And that is also now, this has also provided opportunity for people to embrace agriculture and moving towards a mechanized farming, looking at the fact that also we have a generation that is not inheriting these skills. So that's why we have introduced the tractors to do mechanized farming and also increase production in that manner. So we feel maybe this year the yield might be something that can also say, yes, we are moving towards improving our food security. Or food production.
What kind of support are the farmers in the area getting from the administrative government?
When we organized these farmers, there were a lot of things that we were doing. One, we were providing fuel free. We were also providing seed free. We provided operators for the tractors.
Free.
Free for them, but we are paying them. Okay. So they plow all the fadan. They are planted. And it is you now to come and do weeding and manage your farm in that matter.
Okay.
So that's the support we give to the farmers.
Yeah. Okay. And where is your government getting the money from? Is it because your area is one of the significant oil-producing regions? About 80% of South Sudan oil is produced in Ruweng. Is that correct?
You are correct. 80% is produced in Ruweng, but 80% is not consumed totally in Ruweng.
Okay.
Yes.
But you have your percentage.
Our percentage, though it takes long. You, at times, because of the cargo, maybe it's not sold, and also some of the delay, is something that you see once in a while.
Mm.
What people are saying, yes, you have the 2%.
Yeah.
It's not only to Ruang alone.
So 2%, how much is the Ruang getting?
2% is shared between Unity and Ruang.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something you can wait even for 7 months or 8 months without seeing it.
Okay, hold on, but I want you to make this clear. We understand that 5% is given to the oil producing state. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, how much is the Ruang getting?
Let me give you an example, maybe with what came when I
is the Ruang getting the 5%, or you share with the Unity?
We share with Unity.
Okay,
so it is 2.5.
Okay, yeah. You get 2.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you have 400 for the 2%, Ruang goes with 200,000,
mm-hmm.
and Unity goes with 200,000. Unity 300, 150, 150.
Does the money come monthly?
No.
Why?
Well, those are questions that we all ask, and we have been asking this with Ministry of Petroleum all the time, because at times, okay, maybe cargo sale, maybe that has not been delivered and all this, so, yeah.
Okay, what are the priorities of this? Like, you just give us a simple example. If 400 comes, you divide equally with Unity 200. So what are the priorities for this oil proceeds, the 2%, the 2.5 you are getting?
On our side, as the government,
the
priorities are on education, on health, we have, and also agriculture.
The 3 points you mentioned.
I mentioned.
Okay.
We have been focusing on this.
Why did you reduce from 7 to 3? Initially, you had 7 points. Now you have come down to 3.
When I came down to 3, I wanted what is achievable for this time, so that this round, maybe for the next 1 year, I see on education we have maximized.
Mm-hmm.
On health we have maximized. On agriculture we have maximized.
Okay.
It doesn't mean scaling it to 3 is also trading off the other sectors. We are also focusing on the other sectors, but also on a gradual basis.
Mm-hmm.
So we are also investing in some of the sectors.
Okay.
In like water, we are also investing in that sector.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, there has been these reports which I want you to prove today and verify it, that there has been a lot of talking about the environment being polluted by this oil being produced in the area, even getting sometimes kids are born with deformation and all this kind of thing. Does this scenario happen in Ruang?
That's one of the areas where this scenario is experienced at the maximum and at the fullest. And as a government, we have engaged, and even with the support of His Excellency the President.
Yeah.
And if you might have heard how the first social environmental social audit was commissioned, that was through the directive of His Excellency the President.
The President, yes.
So it's something that we have always made and made clear to the partners, to GPOC, to the Ministry of Petroleum, so that companies must take standard of care. We have children that have been born with deformities. We have pollution that is going on. And these are the things that we are raising. Even in the governance forum, we have been talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been talking to the partners on this. Up to now, we are still waiting for the report for the environmental audit to be released. And I think that will also pave way on some of the solution that can be provided.
At the moment, nothing is being done to correct these challenges happening or facing the people of Ruang?
Yes, with the deformities, I think with the Ministry of Health and Ministry of Petroleum, I think the last kids, they were taken to South Africa.
How many?
There were 3.
Okay. When was that?
I think that was last year.
Last year.
They were taken to South Africa so that testing is done, really to see exactly what is the cost. So the report has come, and we are still waiting for that the discussion of that report, so that this will be determined, yes, oil pollution is doing this, and what measures to be
Where
taken.
Are the 3 now?
The
3 kids, those born with deformation taken to South Africa. Were they taken alive, or?
No, what was taken were the sample.
The samples,
including,
yes.
Including the relatives.
Okay.
Yeah, but some already passed on. Yeah,
okay.
That's what I can tell
you. Is it a big issue in Ruang? This issue of oil pollution, environmental pollution, kids being born with deformation?
It's a big, for me as a government,
yeah.
It's a big issue. It's a big issue because with time, I think our population will continue to be affected. And that's why we are raising it to the higher level. And that's why you see the president also ensuring that these partners, including the regulator, should take measures in terms of addressing this. So I think we are working toward that.
What about you as a chief administrator? Are you engaging these oil companies on the ground?
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. We do talk to GPOC, who are on ground. You know, we have on ground, we have the field-based managers who are there. And most of the time we table this thing and they know this.
Okay. What is the chief administrator doing in Juba?
The chief administrator is here to make sure that you also have this interview with Radio Mirai. And I'm here to engage with the leadership. We come here also to update the leadership on what is going on.
Yeah.
Some of the needed support that we need. In terms, you have been asking me about the board and all of this. These are some of the things that bring us here, so that you have engagement with the leadership. You are even talking to me when I was coming here. Mm. I was coming where I was engaging with partners, with GPOC and Ministry of Petroleum, because we have some of the pending projects that have not been completed. We have a secondary school, we have a hospital, we have an airstrip, we have a road to Lake No. So I was coming from the meeting where I'm engaging with partners plus the Ministry of Petroleum in some of these key projects.
Okay. And how much is the local communities benefiting from these oil companies? Like you said, we have been hearing about this airport for a long time. How far are we now? How far have we gone with it? Or where are we with the airport construction?
Those are discussions that are ongoing, but I can say there are some of the social corporate responsibilities that are also being fulfilled. Like now, maintenance of road infrastructure that is going on is done by GPOC. Mm-hmm. Is some of the benefit that you cannot deny in total that we are not benefiting from this. Mm-hmm. That is ongoing. I have just talked of some of these projects that are in the pipeline. There's where also we have provided water facilities to some of the communities in Abiemnom. Recently, we supplied hospital beds and mattresses in Abiemnom, and this was by GPOC. So these are some of the things that we get also from the partners.
Okay. And before our lines are open, I want you ask to talk about the enrollment of pupils to school. From what you are hearing from the education sector on the ground, is there any improvement, in more especially the girl child education in Roeng?
Yes, there is improvement. In Ruwen, we never used to have a girl primary school or secondary school.
Okay.
During my time was when we first introduced what we call Namlao Girls Primary School.
For the first time?
For the first time. When I left, that school had the enrollment of 362.
Girls?
Girls. And that was simply because you have designated that school and
it purely has for girls.
It has attracted employment, enrollment for girls. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to encourage. Recently, we have also introduced Girl Guides program, and that has also attracted a number of girls into mm-hmm. schools. So, and also the school facilities that are being constructed across the area, in Gumriak, in Aliap, you have in Lilang, you have the one of Kumagon. Okay, so that can accelerate also enrollment for primary education in a way.
Okay, if you have just joined us right now, you are listening to Nationwide. My name is Sani Martin, and in the studio here, I have with me the chief administrator of Roeng Administrative Area, and we are discussing about the projects, like you said. He has prioritized three areas, health, education, and agriculture, because everybody must eat. You can call us on 091206-7879 or 091206-7929, or do send us your comment or SMS number 091206-0912177. 141. Those are all our lines. You can get in touch with us here and ask your question to the chief administrator of Roeng Administrative Area, who is with me here in the studio. He has been in office now for the last 7 months since his appointment on the 4th of April this year. Hello? Hello?
Hello, yes, good evening. Sunny Martin, and greetings to the Chief Administrator, Mr. Stefano Will.
Good evening to you.
Okay, yeah, this is Tango Juliet. I have three sensitive questions, and I want the Chief Administrator to be honest with us.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we have seen a lot of complaints, especially when it comes to scholarships, where the leadership of these two states, Unity and Ruweng, that you guys, you only give this education scholarship to your relatives, in which the son of no man somewhere there is just loitering in Juba or in Pariang or in Unity State. So I want you to give me an honest answer there. Number two, also, what do you have to tell critics who are saying that these two counties who are now administrative area, which is Abimnom and Pariang, they don't have, like, let's say one county from another state is dividing these two, which is causing border issues. Is it true that you guys have border issues because the two counties who are now administrative area are not connected? And the last question is this. Also, what do you have to tell critics who are saying that these 2% or 5% you guys are supposed to use for development, there are some cartel somewhere, also you guys are ditching some of this money so that you keep your positions. Thank you.
Okay. Tango Juliet from Malakal. You can still call us on 091-206-7879. We have another question coming in here via our SMS number from Deng in Tomping. It says, Honorable, welcome to Radio Miraya. My question is, I want you to talk about, could you explain the issue of the justice system in your administrative area? How is it being administered? Do you have judges or are there mobile court coming to your area? Because this has been one of the challenges happening, not only in the Ruweng, but in many parts of the country. This is coming from Deng in Juba here. Yes, Honorable.
Thank you, Sunny Martin. And let me also thank my brother, Tango Juliet from Malakal, for asking this critical question. I want to say, in terms of scholarship, there are scholarships that are provided by GPOC, and there are scholarships that we provide as government of Ruweng administrative area, and perhaps the scholarships that are provided by national government. Mm-hmm. So, where we give this scholarship to our relatives is where I need also to be clear. Well, I need to dismiss, for my case, let me speak to myself.
Yeah.
Okay. I need to dismiss on my case whether a scholarship provided by GPOC, whether a scholarship provided by the Ruweng administrative area government, whether a scholarship given by national government, there's no any instance that maybe in this where we have or where I have favored some of my relatives. I don't know, perhaps maybe sources will say. The government of Ruweng administrative area during my time was the first to introduce a scholarship where we took 14 students to India. As I talked to you,
on a government scholarship of Ruweng.
Ruweng administrative area. Mm-hmm. Financed from the 2%. This is what you were talking about.
Yeah.
So we have 14 students now in India, majoring in chemical engineering, computer engineering, civil engineering, and these are 14, and they were taken solely on government of Ruweng administrative area scholarship.
What were the criteria?
The criteria that we applied were, one, those who sat in sciences,
mm-hmm.
those who were scored from 80 and above for boys, and those who scored for 79 and above
for girls. Yes.
So we have 5 girls, 4 girls, and we have 10 boys.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where his sources are saying, I have no relative in this group.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Now, with GPOC, the same criteria, because when I came, what we were trying to say, yes, I heard GPOC is providing a scholarship. But I was saying, can I have the data? How many students that are responded from Ruang administrative area? And I think that's where the first time we went down to get to see what are the criteria. So, and that's why you see GPOC now is having a policy that is supposed to guide the scholarship, because we had over 375 that time, only 75 were from Ruang.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest, and we are saying, okay, this is for the oil producing areas. So that has to change. Well, there were no students selected during my time. Mm-hmm. GPOC has its own criteria at that time. You have passed, you take your papers to GPOC, and then you follow.
So yes. Are there upcoming scholarship maybe in the coming days?
Yes, based on the criteria that they put now, they are putting 10 scholarship per year. 10 per year, 5 to Unity and 5 to Ruang.
Okay.
Maybe going outside country and something of that kind.
Have they gone already for this year?
I think they are on the process, somewhere on the process.
The border dispute?
Well, unless he has no geographical knowledge, this is what I need to say. Ruang, these areas, they are called Ruang, whether they are in Abibno or on the other side. And they cannot exist without any geographical connection.
Mm.
We have a vast territory of land stretching all the way from Malin, going to Ngolko, all the way to Abibno, all the way to Panakwan. We are linked. We are one people, one community that has the same area.
Mm-hmm.
So when one argues that we do not have a border, then you question. And they know the map. They read. We always provide maps, either 1946 or 1931 or 1927 or 1913 or 1905. We provide this. So I don't know where he's getting this. There's an argument some are making, but we follow the same.
It's good that you are
character.
Here to clarify.
Yes. So what people are preaching to him, those are not truth.
Okay.
Yes.
And then the last allegation of...
With this money, perhaps he may know who are paying this money to keep their position. But people like us, we are not here to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We know the cost the people of South Sudan have incurred in bringing this independence. We were part of the liberation, okay? So whatever little that is there, we must focus it on delivering services, in building our country, okay? So what keeps you in position is not money. It's what you do to your people, delivering services. So I think this question might not be relevant to me because I have not paid any money so that I'm kept in the position.
Right. The issue of justice system
Thank you so much. Yes. You know, after the crisis, 2013 crisis, most of the state and administrative area were affected. Okay. We used to have a mobile court supported by UNDP, but that stopped at one point.
Mm-hmm.
During my time, at the cost of the government of Ruang administrative area, we were able to bring judges to Ruang twice to handle most of the backlog cases. But the good news now, with the recent reform in the judiciary, I'm glad also to inform the rest of the public, now Ruang administrative area has a high court judge and a county court judge already deployed, and they are now almost going 1 month on ground. Handling justice and delivering justice system in Ruang administrative area. And I think this is what is going on now.
Okay.
And now we are working with the ONMIS and the rest of the partners in terms of infrastructure around these areas, where we will be looking at the prison. We are looking at also maybe the infrastructure for the High Court and how we contribute resources together to see that we have these facilities so that we have a justice system that really functions in such area.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there is another SMS coming in here. This is coming from Jackson. It says, we understand that the country is also experiencing shortages of drugs in most of the health facilities across the country, not only in Ruang. Do you have the same in Ruang? Lack of drugs in health facilities?
Maybe is something cutting across, but we have also put some measures in place. Like in the month of August, we have a supply stock from the government of Ruang Administrative Area. We do procure essential drugs most of the time, including things to do like anti-venom, anti-rabies, and also essential
drugs. Because you have a lot of snake bites in your
yes,
area.
Yes, yes. So we had a supply that will take us for a quarter. We have a portion that also come from GPOC to add up to what we have. We have a portion that also come from the national government through UNICEF, and that will add up. So what we have received now is what we supplied as a government that we have distributed in our health facilities across Ruang Administrative Area, and that the portion that come from UNICEF. With GPOC, we are still waiting, and that will come in the next quarter. That will come in a few months to come.
Okay. You can still call us on 091-206-7879 or 091-206-7929. We are only left with about 5 minutes. You can call and be part of our discussion. And also do send us your comment or SMS number 091-2177-141. Yes, there is another question coming in here about do you also consider the issue of disability, people with disability, when giving out the scholarship in your area? This is coming from Thomas in Juba here.
Yeah, thank you, Thomas. I think this is one of the very important questions. As we say always, disability is not inability.
Yeah.
I think is one of the thing that we consider in our provisional scholarship. Yes, if we come for the next round, we will, and people who have sat in sense secondary school certificate, we will provide them with such opportunities.
And as we conclude our discussion, what are some of the immediate projects right now your administration is working on in Ruang, which people can look forward at? The immediate one,
we are looking at the police station. This is immediate. That is going to...
How many police stations are you looking at?
We are looking at one currently.
Mm-hmm.
We are looking at the prison, or putting the prison. That's what we are looking now. We are looking at putting the judiciary. These are three. And we are looking at also putting a women market shelter in Pariang municipality, and we are looking at also renovating the Legislative Assembly or Legislative Council. These are some of the five immediate projects that we are going to work on from now and December going to January.
So is there a timeline for that?
Yes, by January or March next year, we should be done with some of these projects. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So there has never been any police station there, or you want to renovate them?
We have a very small police station. We have never had a very significant police station. What we call prison there is not a prison. It's only that we have very good prisoners.
And the ones they should have escaped already.
Yeah, they should have already escaped. Yeah.
Okay. And what is your concluding remark as we conclude to your people?
Thank you, Sunny Martin, and for this interview with Radio Miraya. Maybe to the people of South Sudan, I need to say we should have a high hope for this country. And what we need is to make sure that give ourselves time, give ourselves peace, because whatever we need to deliver will not be done in where we are doing conflict. There's too much time that we have wasted in the bush trying to fight. But there's a lot that we can achieve if we focus on development, if we focus on economic opportunities for this country. For my people of Ruang, I know, yes, there's a lot that we can achieve collectively together. And I always say we will make Ruang a better place for the rest. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Honorable Stefano Wiu-Malek, for coming to our studio. We appreciate your time.